Let's take God's word this morning and let's go to Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter 51, and as I told you earlier, I want to conclude this today, and this will be part one. And tonight, I pray that you can be here to hear the rest of this message. We have been journeying through God's word, and we came to 2 Samuel, and you know the story. David the great, psalmist of Israel, the great giant killer, the man who was, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. One day he sinned against God. Now we know that really the sin had been committed in David's heart maybe months or weeks before that. David's heart was not right with God. And the day that he looked upon Bathsheba, he lusted after her, he inquired of her and committed adultery with this woman. David lived under that sin. In fact, you know the story, David trying to hide his sin, put Uriah on the front lines of the battle and withdrew the other men so that Uriah would be killed. David is guilty of murder, of adultery, of lying, of stealing. Amazing for such a man of God. And yet David, in the midst of all of that, David's heart is not right with the Lord. Oh, he never lost his salvation. We know that according to God's word. But David lost his fellowship with God. And when Nathan the prophet came in and said, David, thou art the man, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, the night that David prayed to God after Nathan had come in, David, the Bible says, wept before the Lord and he prayed. What is it wonderful that God records this prayer for us in Psalm chapter 51? And I've taken many weeks to kind of, leave 2 Samuel to come to Psalm chapter 51. And today I want to conclude this, and next Sunday we'll be back in the book of 2 Samuel. But notice the rest of David's prayer, his penitent prayer. Can I tell you something? David is a broken man. Have you ever heard the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Well, according to the Bible, if it isn't broken, it should be. And that is what I want to preach to you on this morning. If it isn't broken, it should be. If I were to take this glass that I have over here that I use because to drink water before I preach, probably making everyone else in here thirsty as far as that goes. But you know, this glass has a purpose. The purpose is to hold the water so that it can be used, can be used to for refreshment, for nourishment. But if I were to drop this glass out here, it would break. And once it is broken, I'm going to tell you something, it is useless. It has no value whatsoever. Once I would break this glass, it cannot contain, it cannot hold the water. And as much super glue as you could put on it, and believe me, when I was a kid, I was very acquainted with super glue, you know? I can remember times breaking things when Mama wasn't home, and boy, I'd super glue the daylights out of that thing, you know, and it would usually fall off at some point, and it must have been my sister did that, you know. But you know, when this is broken, it is useless. But can I tell you this? In the eyes of God, when we are broken, that is when we become useful to God. But when we are proud and when we are stiff-necked and when we are unsurrendered and unyielded to God, we are not useful to Him. All through the Bible, you know what you find? Men and women that were greatly used of God. But I'm going to tell you something, a common denominator about everyone that was used of God, they were broken. God broke them. Because until we are broken, we cannot be used of the Lord. Now, David tells us something in Psalm chapter 51. Let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 14. Psalm 51 and verse number 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Would you go back to verse number 17? And I want you to notice what David is saying. Now, David is getting back into fellowship with God. How does a sinner who is saved get back into fellowship? Once they break their fellowship with God and the fellowship has been broken. My children are here this morning and I thank God for each and every one of them. But my children are always my children, no matter what they do. If they change their name, if they move away, if whatever happens, they will still be my children, no matter what they do. And brethren, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are placed into the family of God. And let me tell you this, nothing can take you out of God's family. Once you're a part of His family. Well, David is a part of God's family, but David is away from God. And David does not know the sweetness and the joy we learned last week where David says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Now David says something here in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And then if you'll notice that little colon right there in your Bible, it describes what a broken spirit is. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David is saying what God wants from each and every one of us here today is a broken and a contrite heart. So this morning, if it isn't broken, it should be. Number one, I want you to notice as we look in our text here today, I want you to notice the rejection of religious activity. Now, let me explain something to you quickly. How few people really in their Christian life, and I really believe this, ever really come to the place of brokenness before God. Can I ask you, children of God, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. Has there ever really come in a place in your life, and I believe it's not just one time, but that it's many times in our life, when we are broken, we see ourselves as God sees us and not what we think about ourselves, but as we look into the pages of Scripture and we look into the mirror of God's Word, God shows us what we really are. We see our spiritual bankruptcy. We see our spiritual helplessness. We see our sin. We understand what we are in the light of a holy God, and we are broken. The idea of the word broken and a contrite heart, the word broken has to do with what a person would do to break in a horse. You take a horse that is a wild horse. I'm going to tell you something, you can't ride that horse. The horse in many ways is not useful. It is not valuable to anyone until the horse is broken. The ideal is that the horse is surrendered. It is submitted. It yields to its master, its owner. And the idea with a broken heart is that we are surrendered to our Heavenly Father. We have said to Him, "Lord, I have no agendas, I have no rights, I have no plans of my own. I yield to You. I will do whatever You want me to do. I will go wherever You want me to go. Lord, my life is Yours." That is a broken heart. But what about a contrite heart? Now, the word contrite is a fascinating word in God's Word. It literally means to be crushed. It means to be ground to powder. And what David is saying, God, there's pride in my heart. And brethren, can we just be honest with ourselves today? In each and every one of us, including the pastor behind this pulpit, we all have pride in our heart. We're born with pride. Hey, you take a little child. I'm going to tell you something. Little children are proud. They don't have nothing to be proud about. But they're proud. They think, hey, I know what I need for my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. And by the way, God has to deal with our pride. And when we have a contrite spirit, we are broken. We are surrendered. We are submissive to God. And David said that God wanted a broken and a contrite heart. Now, notice number one, the rejection of religious activity. Now, here's what we understand. Now, go back, if you would, please, to verse number 16 of Psalm chapter 51. Here, David says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." Now, here's the ideal. David is saying, God does not delight in the sacrifice, in the burnt offering, because I gave the burnt offering and I gave the sacrifice when I was living in sin, and I know that God doesn't want that unless my heart is right with the Lord. Do you know that we understand that David probably lived about a year in unconfessed sin before God? Can you imagine how miserable David was? I mean, we understand he lost his joy. He couldn't praise the Lord. I mean, David was a miserable man. And you'd want to know a miserable man. The most miserable man on earth is the Christian who is out of fellowship with God. That's a miserable man. And David is that way. Well, guess what David did? Well, David tried to cover everything. David tried to hide his sin before everyone. And somehow David thought that he could even hide his sin from God. So guess what David did? And once Uriah was killed, and then David married Bathsheba, trying to cover up, because Bathsheba is going to have a child. And we've got to cover all this up. So Bathsheba comes into the palace. Everything is good. But 2 Samuel 11, the last verse says, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." God says, "I don't like what you've done. You've covered your sin." But guess what David did? Now, David had a private life and he had a public life. His private life was a wreck. But his public life, everything was in order. You know what David did? David was king, and David had to act like a king. He had to look like a king. So day after day, David would do what he was commanded by God to do, and that was to offer the sacrifice, the burnt offering to God. And David would go, and he would offer the sacrifice, and everyone thought, "Boy, David is a man of God. Look at David up there. Look at the kingly robe. Look at the countenance of David." And David is performing religious activity, and his heart is so far from God. And that's why David said, "I'm going to tell you something. I've done it, and God hates it." David is saying, "Thou desirest not sacrifice," or, "God, I would give you sacrifice." And then he says, "God delighteth not in the burnt offering." Brethren, can I tell you something today? Every one of us has learned to live a religious routine that has every appearance of a spiritual life. When oftentimes our heart is so far from God, we practice religious routine. We go to church, we sing the songs, we might teach the Sunday school class, we might teach in the Christian school, we might drive the bus, we might sing in the choir, and you can do those things outwardly and everything seem okay, but if your heart and my heart is not right with God, I'm going to tell you what God says of it. He says, "I hate it." Take your Bibles this morning and let me show you what the Lord has to say. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. And I want you to notice clearly what the Lord is saying to us here. Isaiah chapter 1, we'll begin in verse number 11. David knew that his religious activity, void of the presence of God, was absolutely meaningless. It was spiritual hypocrisy. You say, "Well, Pastor, do you know about this?" Yes, I know about it. There have been times in my life when I have gone through spiritual activity, spiritual routine, when my heart is away from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the most miserable life that you can live, because you know there is no freedom, there is no liberty from the Lord. Well, David knows what this is like. You see, David isn't broken. And when David becomes broken, that's when he will become usable to God. That's when his life will be what God wants it to be. If it isn't broken, and if your life isn't broken this morning, it must be, it should be, before God can ever bless and use us. We see the rejection of religious activity. My pastor used to say years ago, he used to say that activity is no substitute for spirituality. Do you know that it's easy to do things for God and not really be right with God? It's possible to do that. It's easy to teach a class and your heart is not in tune and in fellowship with God. It's easy to go to a prayer meeting. It's easy to do all kinds of things, but you won't do them long because God hates that. Now look at this. Isaiah 1, verse number 11, the Bible says this. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Now think of this. This is God. This is Jehovah God telling the children of Israel, you know what happened? They're doing the religious activity and they're living in disobedience to God. Verse number 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Do you know what God is saying here to the children of Israel? He is saying, look, your assemblies, I hate them. Your meetings, I hate them. All the sacrifices that you give unto me, God says, I abhor them. I despise them because your heart is not right with me. You are not living in obedience to me. And brother, let me tell you this. We think sometimes the ideal that if we do more and more for God, God will like us more. Brethren, God loves you this morning and his love for you will never change. Do you know that you can never do something more to make God love you more or to even make God like you more? Yes, we should live in such a way that we are pleasing our Heavenly Father. But the more activity does not mean that God loves us more or less. Brethren, when we are living the Christian lie, per se, we are living a life of hypocrisy. I heard years ago about a businessman that was in a church, and at church, everyone thought this businessman was just a really good guy. I mean, he looked spiritual. He acts spiritual. He was always seemingly the spiritual man. But you know something? At his place of business, he cursed. He lived a wicked lifestyle. He told the dirty jokes. He lived this way. And you know something? At church, in his public world, everything was great. But his heart was not right with God. You know what God looks upon that? God says, I detest that. I hate it. And what David is saying in Psalm chapter 51, he is saying, God, it doesn't matter all that I can offer to you. It doesn't matter all that I can sacrifice to you. If my heart is not right with you, you detest it and you reject it. You see, brethren, today, God wants your heart. What does God want from you? You say, well, God wants me to do more. That's not it. Well, God wants me to give this or to do this. God wants your heart. And if He has your heart, you will give and you will do everything you need to do. But when my heart is not right and your heart is not right, it is just religious activity that is rejected by God. Do you remember when you got saved? I remember when I first got saved at 17 years of age in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I was born and raised. And by the way, this title, this message, I had said to my wife, I said, honey, I know ain't isn't good to use in a title. So what if I say, if it isn't broke, don't fix it, or something like that? She said, well, honey, that's grammatically incorrect as well, you know. So, you know, when you grow up in Tennessee, it's good you marry a English major, all right? That's a good thing. God had mercy on me. So, but may I say this to you? I remember when I got saved. Do you know when I first got saved? My heart was so grateful to God for what He had done for me, that everything I did at that point, I did out of gratitude and love for my Heavenly Father. I mean, I read the Bible because it was not a duty. I wanted to read God's Word to fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I wanted to go to church because I wanted God to speak to me. I wanted to go soul winning. I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ because God had saved me and God had changed my life, and it was done out of love for Him. But you know what happens. We get busy. We allow our heart to grow cold. And guess what happens? We say the same prayers. We sing the same songs. We do the same religious activity. But it is done out of obligation, or it is done to be seen of men. And guess what God says? I hate it. Do you know the modern day church today has lost its brokenness? Today, many churches want to have some pep rally per se. They want to have some type of, you know, everything is just, listen, do you know that God wants us to come before His Word? And in the Word of God, when people heard God's Word, they fell at their faces. They humbled themselves. It was a brokenness before God. It is recognizing that we are nothing without God, and He is everything. And you may say, well, Pastor, does that mean we come to the house of God and we have to leave all depressed and discouraged? No, brother, I'm going to tell you something. When you understand your brokenness and you see how wonderful your Savior is, it is the greatest joy and excitement ever in your life that God would ever love you enough to save you. God rejected His religious activity. Would you take your Bibles quickly? Because I want to show you some examples. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Now, I think you'll remember this man. His name is Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, I want us to come to verse number 26. Now, do you remember about Saul? Now, by the way, Saul, in the very beginning of his life, was a broken man. I mean, Saul thought, who am I to be the king over the nation of Israel? But remember, the people liked Saul. He was head and shoulders above everyone else. I mean, he was the man that, boy, people looked to, and he was tall and he was of good countenance. And boy, they thought, this is our king. We're kind of proud of our king. But then we begin to see things in Saul's life. Did Saul do a lot of religious activity? You better believe it. Boy, he was a professional at religious activity. But let me tell you something about Saul's life. He was disobedient to God. And you know what God did to Saul? He rejected him. He said, Saul, I have found something in your heart that I will not and I cannot bless. Saul, your heart is not right with me, and I will not bless you. Do you know what? There are many Sauls in the Christian faith today. They are not broken. And if it isn't broken, it should be. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we notice verse number 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Now, who was this? This was David. God said to Saul, Saul, in your heart, you are not right with me. You disobey me. Remember the story about when they came to attack Amalek and they were to destroy everyone. They would destroy all the sheep and animals and all of that. And you know the story. He did not obey God. Can I tell you why he didn't obey God? Because his heart did not obey God. And God said, Saul, buddy, you got everything on the outside looking good. And Saul, on the outside, you do all kinds of religious activity, but I will not bless you. I reject you. Now look, God did not say, Saul, I hate you. I do not like you. That was not it. But Saul, I will not bless your life. Because you're nothing but religious activity. Remember when Samuel came to anoint David to be king? Do you remember the story? And it's kind of a funny story. And Samuel comes, and what does Samuel do when he comes up to Jesse, which is the father of David and all of his sons? He comes up and he sees Eliab, the firstborn, and he says, boy, surely the Lord's anointed is here. Here's this tall young man, strapping young man. Boy, he appears very spiritual. But you know what the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 16? Would you go there? You should be close right there. 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 6. Notice what the Bible says about this. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Look in verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Can I tell you what God is doing? God is saying, I'm sorry, Samuel, but every one of these boys, there is something in their heart. They're fine looking, they're courageous, they're polite, they do all kinds of religious activity, but their heart is not right with me. But the one boy that everyone else overlooked, you know why they overlooked David? Because he's just a runt of a kid. He smells bad because he's been with the sheep. Now, David? You really want David to be king? But God said, yeah, I'm going to tell you why. Because I see his heart. And in David's heart, he loves me and worships me. And I'm going to use David. I'm going to tell you something today. You know what? We all are guilty, including this pastor, that we are good at putting on a show. We are good at making things look good on the outside. We are good at the religious activity. When God, this morning, he rejects us. He rejects the religious activity when our heart is not in tune with him. You know what I want today? And I mean this with all my soul, and God knows it. I want a heart that is in fellowship with God. I want to know that in the depths of my soul, there is nothing between my soul and the Savior, that my heart is right, because I want to know the Lord like I've never known him before. The rejection of the religious activity. Number two, I want you to notice this. The requirement of a broken and contrite heart. I heard the story years ago about a little boy. And he was in the kitchen and he looked out the window and his mom was in there. And he said, Mama, look, there's a bear in the backyard. And his mom went to the window and looked and she said, son, that's not a bear. That's Joe Smith's dog. She said, son, you go upstairs, you get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you for telling a lie. So he walked upstairs and about 10, 15 minutes later, he came back down and his mom said, well, son, did you ask God to forgive you? And he said, well, yes, but God said that it was all right because God told me that the first time he saw Joe Smith's dog, he thought it was a bear too, you know? Well, let me tell you this. A person that has a broken and a contrite heart does not excuse their sin. They do not soft coat it. They do not look past it. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. David said, against thee, thee only have I done this sin. David said, God, it wasn't Bathsheba's fault. It wasn't that I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. God, this was me. It was my sin. And God, I am broken. You see, a broken and a contrite heart is what God requires. Do you know that there is coming a day when each and every one of us is going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to meet the Lord, and God is not going to judge your sin because that has been taken care of at Calvary. Praise be to the Lord. But the Lord is going to judge your works. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, the Bible says that our works will be tried by fire. In fact, God tells us in His Word that some people will be just saved as by fire, meaning everything they've done will be burnt up and all will be left is their salvation. Do you know that for many of us, including myself, lots of our works are going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ? Can I tell you why? Because we did religious activity when our heart was not right with God. We did it to be seen of men. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we do it to be seen of men, that is your reward. You've already got it. The applause of men, the accomplishment that you think you've accomplished in the eyes of other people. But brethren, when we do things so others will think well of us, when we do things for a religious activity, it is as that man, remember the two men that came into the temple, and the one man said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not as this other man." You remember him, the Pharisee? But what did the other man do? He smote upon his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That man went to his house justified that day. That man, oh, God was pleased in his heart. Do you see today the requirement? What does God want of you today? Can I tell you what God wants? Is why I know, preacher, you're a Baptist preacher. God wants my pocketbook. That's it. He wants my checkbook. No, that's not it. Well, God wants me to give more time to the church, and He wants me to be faithful to the services. And, well, that's a part of it, but that's not really what God wants. I'm going to tell you what God wants. A broken and a contrite heart. When you have that surrendered, you are yielded, you are that horse that has been tamed and broken, and God can use your life. And when your heart is contrite and it is crushed before God, and you recognize who you really are, and you see yourself in the light of God, and you understand, then God says, "I love that." That is that sweet-smelling savor unto me. You see, brethren, God wants a broken and a contrite heart. David is saying, God has me now where He wants me. My heart is broken and my heart is contrite, and I have no agenda now. I have no plans now. I'm not trying to hide anything. And David is saying, I'm giving myself without reservation to a holy God. Take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter number 57. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do we know that this is really the requirement?" Well, let me show you. When God brings us to this place of a broken and contrite heart, a place of surrender, yielding to God, it's the greatest place that you and I could ever be. Can I just share something with you? Sometimes I think I'm a little too open. And sometimes I'm embarrassed by my openness. And boy, I look back on my life, on things, and I think, Aaron, you were so proud. God brings to my mind things I've said to people that were so proud and stiff-necked. And I'm embarrassed by it. You know what? I wasn't broken, and my heart was not contrite. And I'm going to tell you something. Did I do lots of things? Yes. But the Lord said, "I hate that because I want your heart. I want you to be in fellowship with me." You see, it is almost as if we are ingrained with this thing that we want to do before we are right with God. In fact, why are there so many other false religions out there? And by the way, it's either a religion of done or do. We believe in done. It was done at Calvary, all right? But the other religions teach, the false religions, we must do something to obtain our salvation. No, no. It was paid for at Calvary. Isaiah chapter number 57 and verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. How special. Now, don't miss this verse. It's so wonderful. The Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Now go to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 2. Do you know what God is saying to us here? You want to dwell with me. Now, we're not talking about dwelling in heaven. We're talking about dwelling in the presence of God. We're talking about, the Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." There is no freedom. There is no liberty like knowing that you are right with God. You are dwelling in His presence. You are living a life that is pleasing to Christ. Not a life of sinlessness. That is not possible this side of heaven. But it is a life of sweet fellowship. It is a life of victory in Christ. God says, if you want that, you can dwell with me only if you have a contrite and a humble heart. Isaiah 66. And notice what the Bible tells us here in verse number 2. "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look." I love that. Do you want God to look at you in favor and blessing? God says, "This man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit." And notice this, here's a little key. "And trembleth at my word." God said, "You want me to look at you in favor?" You remember what God did to Job? And God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth?" You know what God said? Look at him. Look at his heart. Look at his humble and contrite spirit. He's broken. And let me say this to you. I know we play basketball and volleyball here in our school, and we have a lot of fun with that. But it's amazing to me, and I coach and referee and all kinds of things, and I'm on the court. Boy, every time a little boy makes a shot, makes it, crowd's cheering. Boy, he don't care about any of his other players, whether or not. You know what he does? He looks up in the stands to find mom or dad. He says, "Hey, Dad, see that? Best shot of the week right there, you know?" You know what he wants? He wants the dad to say, "Good job, buddy. Good job." Can I tell you this? I want there to be a God in heaven that can look at me and look at you. And for God to say, "Boy, I love his humble and contrite heart. I love the brokenness that she shows. He or she trembles at my word. They listen and they obey." God says, "That's who I will look to. That's who I will bless." David said, "God, you don't want my sacrifice if my heart is not right with you. You don't want my burnt offering if my heart is not in fellowship with you. You want a broken and a contrite heart." Brethren, if it isn't broken, it must be. Number three, I want you to notice in closing, we've seen first that the rejection of religious activity, the requirement of a broken heart. But number three, I want you to notice the rebuilding of your heart. Now go back to Psalm chapter 51 because you must see this. Now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, "Pastor, this verse does not belong in Psalm chapter 51. I want you to notice it. We see in Psalm chapter 51, we see verse number 18. Now remember verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." But then why does verse 18 say what it says. It almost as if David, this doesn't belong. Let's read it together. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now you may stop and say, Pastor, that doesn't belong there. That does not fit. Well, go to the next verse. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. There is something about verse 18 that shows us how God will be pleased with our giving. Now, should we stop singing in the choir? No. Should we stop coming to church? No. God commands us to be faithful. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Should we stop giving? No. We must do what God has given us to do. But God is more concerned with our heart than anything else. David is not taking a side note and saying, by the way, we need to build the walls around the city. This is a personal psalm. David is talking about himself. So the only way that we can understand Scripture so often is to compare Scripture with Scripture. Let me read to you Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. You don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So David said, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. You know what David is saying to us? David is saying, let me tell you something. I had no rule over my own spirit. I became involved and lost, and I pursued a woman that was not my wife. The walls were broken down, and the enemy came in, and it stole so much from me. David said, my life was like a city without walls. Brethren, what is the key today? The key is that we must rebuild our heart. We must guard our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Do you know that everything comes from our heart? And if my heart is not right, nothing will be right in my life. The key today is that your heart would be strengthened, that you would be right with God, and that there would be a protection about your heart. Because when the walls of the city are down, the enemy comes in. It ransacks everything. And David is saying, let me tell you something. I let the walls down. I didn't guard my heart. I did not protect my heart. I did not keep my heart right with the Lord. Let me tell you something. My family is hurt. I've lost things I will never get back. I've lost my testimony. I have lost so much. And that is what happens when you and I do not guard our heart. Can I ask you something today? What does your heart look like right now? God sees your heart. He's the only one that can see it. He knows if you're right with Him. God knows if I'm right with Him. You see, you know what a contrite heart is? A contrite heart doesn't seek to explain or defend or excuse our sin. It is broken over sin and self. Look here. If you could see yourself in the light of God's Word, it would be the most hideous, ugly, sinful thing that you've ever seen. But we kind of build up ourselves, you know? We want people to think well of us, and we want there to be a show, and we want people to think so good of us. But a broken man understands that without Jesus Christ, he would die and spend eternity in hell. The broken man understands that there is nothing good in him, and he understands that as John said in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He understands, as Paul said, that there is no good thing in him. Paul said, look, I'm the chief of sinners. And we would look at Paul and say, Paul, you're one of the greatest Christians of the Bible. But yet Paul recognized who he really was. You see, a contrite heart is broken before God. No more image, no more show. No more worrying about what people think. I just want to be right with the holy God. That is what God requires. David let down the walls of his heart. Can I tell you something? It's in every one of our nature to try to prove that we can live life without God. And in doing, we destroy ourselves. We let down the walls of our heart. Brethren, that is why daily we must surrender to the Lord. Daily we need God's Word because it cleanses our heart and it protects our heart. And by the way, God's Word's like a mirror. God's Word says, look, let me show you what you're really like. Let me show you what you're doing. Let me show you. And when we see it, we can confess it and forsake it. And God will have mercy and He can transform our life. But it's all about our heart. May I say this to you? Your service and my service to God really means nothing unless our heart is right with Him. I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher. I love being a pastor. I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else with my life. And you know what? Preaching, people say, well, that's the work. It is work, but by the way, it's the most enjoyable thing that I get to do. I love the preaching. Can I tell you something? I don't want to get up here and preach and people to think, wow, look at that. Boy, he's a great Christian. God knows whether that's true or not because God sees my heart and God knows what's in my heart. He sees us like nobody else can see us. But what I want is to be able to know in my heart that I'm right with the Lord, that I'm as thoroughly right with God as humanly possible, that there is no unconfessed sin in my life, and I know that I'm not perfect, but I'm seeking to live for Jesus Christ and I'm seeking after the Lord, and my heart is protected and my heart recognizes my own sin and the weakness of my flesh and the weakness of my own self. That is when we have a broken and a contrite heart. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Do you know that you cannot do this to yourself? You can't work up a broken and contrite heart. But I'll tell you this, if you come to God, God will break your heart. God will show you and He'll humble you. In fact, what is James? The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. When we come and say, well, you know, I didn't really need that. And boy, I God resists that. He says, I don't care what you do. I hate it. I loathe it. I despise it. I abhor your sacrifice. But when a man or a woman comes and says, God, I'm so proud. God, I've got so much sin and I've sinned and I've been so selfish and Lord, break me. I promise you, God will answer that prayer. When's the last time you came to God and said, God, show me what I really am like. Show me my unbroken heart. Show me my unyielded will before Thee. You know what we ought to say? God, I don't want to be me anymore. I don't want to be proud and stiff-necked. Break me. You see, that is where God wants us to be. And when we come to this place, then God says, that's wonderful. When our heart is in fellowship with God and we get up and sing, especially in the church, you know what? It doesn't matter really how good it is. As far as performance goes, if the heart is right with God, God says, I love that. And when someone plays the piano, it doesn't matter how good or how the great the performance is, but if their heart is right and they're doing it because they love the Lord and they want to honor the Lord, God says, I love that. And when we come to church and our heart hungers and says, God, speak to me, deal with me. Oh, God, may people be saved. God says, I love that. Oh, today, if you aren't broken, you must be. Many of us just need to come and hit this altar today and say, Lord, I'm so proud and selfish. Break me. God will break you. And then you get alone with God and His Word. And look, this is not just one-time thing. This is a lifelong attitude. But if you're here today and without Jesus Christ and you don't know where you would go to heaven or hell when you died, can I tell you something? Jesus was broken for you. Did you know, in fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 that He was bruised for you. He was wounded for you. He was broken on the cross. He gave his life so that you could have eternal life in heaven. And when we recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus is the only way, as he said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When we come to that place, then the Lord says, I'm ready to give you the gift of salvation. If it isn't broken, it should be. Let's bow our heads in prayer.